John 15, 1 through 10, up on the bulletin. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. May God add his blessing to the reading of this word.
Thank you, Michelle. Sometimes when I go someplace, like a church meeting I was at a little over a week ago, I'm inspired to preach on something that someone else has preached on. And it happened to me last a week ago Saturday when I was at the Presbyterian meeting in Ohio and was listening to a young lady by the name of Reverend Melissa Shazer, and she was speaking on abiding in Christ. And I thought, you know, I think it's been a long time since I think I've preached on, ultimately, what will be preached on is the fruit of the Spirit. But in order to preach on the fruit of the Spirit, I think I need to first talk about abiding in the vine, because if we don't abide in the vine, we don't produce the fruit of the Spirit that has been talked about. So I wanted to talk about that a little this morning, and thought I'd start out with kind of a little bit of a lesson for me. When we moved out to our new place out there in outside of Mackinac, a few miles, when we were putting another part of a driveway into the home where we had and the garage we put up, we had to move three apple trees, and actually it was Mindy and Amy's dad who moved the apple trees for us with that big machine that takes and, you know, spikes down there. And we had to move them from one spot about, 100, 150 feet away in another spot. And Chris was saying, you know, if these trees are going to survive, there's some things you're going to have to do to help them survive. I mean, you've got to fertilize these trees. You're going to have to water them like you wouldn't believe. And you got to prune them. Big time prune those trees. The trees before we moved them, 2 years ago was a year where a lot of the fruit trees were really producing. The problem with these trees was they were really producing, but the branches were so long and stuff, the branches were breaking on the trees and all that sort of thing. And the longevity of this fruit tree, these fruit trees, was not going to be very long if they weren't pruned. So anyway, I pruned them. And the first fall I pruned them, two falls ago, boy, did they look ugly. And then this spring, you have to realize these trees were traumatized. Last summer, one of the trees had about 10, 15 apples on them. Another had about 5 or 6, and the third one had no apples. Leaves, but no apples. Chris says, wait, it'll happen. It'll happen. But you just got to wait. Keep pruning that tree. Now, I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? Pruning is something that in our lives isn't always a pretty exercise. We don't do the pruning either. There's someone in this story that does the pruning for us. And I want to talk about this idea of abiding and how we abide in Christ. And if we do that, part of that abiding is we need to be listening to and allowing the gardener to prune our lives. The story here in John 15 is about a vine, or someone might say a tree. And this tree or this vine has branches. And the story lays out for us what's really going on. The gardener, who's preparing the ground and is also doing the pruning job of the tree, is God. The vine that roots go down into the ground, the vine is Jesus. And we, are the branches. So when you read this story, you read it with those things in mind. Now also I want to get to at the very beginning, because I think this is really what's being alluded to this morning, and some people think it might be something a little bit different than this. The remaining in him is I don't think what he's talking about here, because it starts out in the first couple of verses here about, he says, let me read the second verse again. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. I don't believe he's talking so much about a branch being cut off, like I was his and I'm now no longer his. I believe he's talking more about, you know, when you and I have a branch and there's little shoots off that branch, some of these are fruitless and they're cut off. And he's pruning our lives so that we will be fruitful. Some pieces of that branch are no good. When I was pruning the apple trees, there's a couple of them I didn't realize I kind of cut the branch off. I didn't realize it until the spring. When you look and all you see is this partially dead branch that's hanging out there. Well, it wasn't fully connected to the vine, so I completely removed it. It was easy to see once the leaves started. But before that, I didn't realize what was going on. So let's talk first of all about this living outside of the vine. What's that look like? We're not in proximity to the vine, for one. If the vine is not a part of who we are, then we're not living and abiding in that vine. We're living and abiding in some other vine that might be there. We aren't getting sustenance from that vine. Are there other vines that are giving sustenance? You know, when I was down at Matt and Megan's, they have some big old pecan trees there, and several of those pecan trees have these vines that kind of grow up into the tree, way up into the tree, and you'll see some of these old pecan trees, they're almost, you can hardly see much of the bark of the trees because it's just filled with these vines. And when they moved in there, this happened to be Megan's grandparents' place, and it was kind of abandoned. The home that was there was long gone. And they would remove these vines from the trees. But these vines, when you start removing from the trees, realize there are roots going into that tree. They're sucking energy from that tree, these vines are. So I had another tree or two down there while we were down there that I was pulling these vines off. I was even using the tractor to yank these vines from these trees that would go way up in the tree. And I have a 30-foot long vine that I'm dragging behind the tractor and then burning them. But this whole idea was these other vines were trying to suck energy from the tree that was there, and they're trying to get their fruitfulness from another tree. There are other vines out there that we're getting sustenance from, or robbing us of the sustenance that you and I can get from the vine that I'm going to talk about here. The problem so many times is we don't allow the gardener to prune when that sort of thing is happening. So let's go through this story a little bit. God is the gardener. So God's job in all of this is to make sure that the vine and the branches are sustaining. I mean, the vine is sustaining the branches. God has gardened all the stuff around this vine. And now, primarily what God is doing is he is pruning this vine to make sure it's fruitful. Remember something. We aren't pruning the vine. God is pruning the vine. It's not my fruit. It's God's fruit. Remember that as you go through this story that he's sharing with us this morning. So God is the gardener, and he has provided the perfect environment for the vine and its branches to grow. The vine itself is Jesus, rooted in God completely. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. The branches, too, are sustained by the gardener who prunes so that the branches can abide even more. They're pruned so the nutrients can go to the fruit, to produce the fruit. Now, you notice in a lot of branches, you get some of these big, long branches, and the main branch, the more mature branch, the one that's hard, the one that's kind of seems to get more bark around it and is sustained. There's all these little branches that come off that branch. And think about our lives. There's all these little branches that come off that are sucking some of that energy, not going into the fruit, but going into these other things that are growing out of this branch. What's God do? He takes and cuts a lot of these extras out of there. Why? So that the sustenance we receive from Jesus, who is the vine, goes into the producing of fruit. Because what's a fruit tree for? Producing fruit. That's what God wants the fruit tree to do. So He wants the branch to produce fruit. So what makes the tree of value is not the impressive look of all the leaves. It's the fruit produced. Just like Jesus was with the disciples one time and they saw this olive tree, I think it was, or a fig tree with no figs. He basically zapped the tree because there's no fruit. There's no fruit in that fig tree. The fig tree was created to produce figs. And all it was leaves. And I sometimes wonder, and this is what I want to get to this morning, how sometimes you and I in our lives, we just want a tree that's got a bunch of leaves. It's not fruitful. It defeats the purpose of the pruning. It's not to make the tree ugly. It's to make it produce. To make sure that the branch is receiving sustenance to produce the fruit. When pruned, the branch gets stronger and doesn't have to sustain all the little immature shoots. An unpruned branch with lots of shoots, I think, resembles a Christian doing a lot of work but not abiding. Think about this for a moment. This is what I really want to get to this morning. Is an unpruned branch with lots of shoots resembles a Christian doing a lot of work but not abiding, being distracted. Sometimes I think you and I in the Church of Jesus Christ find ourselves doing a lot of stuff, and it might be good stuff. It might even be stuff that is, you know, from the outside world, it looks like things that are good, that help the world in a positive kind of way, but it's being done perhaps for all the wrong reasons, not necessarily to produce the fruit that God wants us to produce, but just because I want my branch to look nice and leafy. Sometimes it's all about appearance. And I wonder if sometimes in our lives you and I just want a leafy branch. Because it takes too much work to be a fruitful branch. Because what it means is I've got to let God do something to my branch and I don't like it. It hurts a little bit. It hurts to be pruned. It hurts to be pruned back because I've got a big old long branch with a whole bunch of big leaves on it. And it looks impressive from a distance, but it's producing no or very little fruit. So I want to challenge us this morning a little bit with this idea about abiding in Him. Because you see, if we don't get pruned, all this energy and sustenance that we get from Jesus is being used for our own selfish purposes. And we may be producing some leafy branches out there. Maybe there are people even out there in the world that are kind of impressed with the leafy stuff that we do. But as far as us is concerned, are we really producing God's fruit? Because I think with the leafy branches, we're trying to produce our own fruit. And God's the one who prunes so that the fruit will come. A leafy branch may look healthy, but if there is no fruit, it isn't fulfilling its purpose. You know this lady who is preaching this kind of workshop message for us at the presbytery meeting was basically zeroing this on those who are leaders in the church and those who are pastors. And said there's a lot of pastors out there that are doing a lot of stuff, but they're not abiding in Christ. A lot of leaders in the church that are doing a lot of nice stuff, but they're not abiding in Christ. They're distracted. So there's a lot of these little leafy shoots that are going out all over the place, but they're not abiding in Christ. That fits all of us here, whether you're a leader in the church or not. How are we living our life? Are we living our life desiring to abide in Him so that we can produce the fruit that God has designed for us to produce to begin with? Or do we want to do our own thing and just look good? It may look impressive to other people, but in the end, we aren't fulfilling our purpose at all. God wants to garden our soul. God wants to prune our lives so that we can be fruit bearers for Him. Sometimes pruning involves cutting off dead branches or sometimes other vines that attach to the branch. Sometimes you and I are so distracted, we're no longer getting our sustenance from Him. We're getting our sustenance from someplace else. And God says, I've got to cut that off. I've got to cut that off. So where does fruitfulness come from? The gardener. The gardener makes the fruit grow. All He asks of us is that we abide in Christ, in the vine, and allow Him to prune. Now, I think sometimes we're doing part of it somewhat. We're abiding somewhat, but we're not allowing God to prune. And that's where we go wrong. We're not allowing God to prune. It's good for us as Christians to be uncomfortable sometimes. Do I like it? No. I'd rather have the easy way out. But sometimes it's good for us to be a little uncomfortable. Sometimes it's good for God to lop something off that we want to stay attached to because it's sucking so much of energy, but it's not a productive part of that branch. It's these leafy parts that are doing no good for the kingdom. They might be doing good for myself. They might be doing good for my reputation. They might be doing good for what I look like to people out there or whatever. But I'm not doing God's work. I'm doing what I want to do so that I look like this nice leafy branch. But it's not a fruitful branch. You see, the pain of being pruned is intended to make us more fruitful. I wanted to read real quick as I close here this morning a text from Romans chapter 5 that really kind of lays that out for us. It's Romans chapter 5, the first few verses of that chapter. Here, I think, is really what's going on in these first few verses. It's pruning. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You know, this access to this grace, it almost sounds like being attached in some way, doesn't it, to the vine? And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. You think what's going on here is pruning, isn't it? What He's doing is pruning. And what happens when we're pruned? This hope doesn't disappoint us because God has poured out His love. That sustaining, abiding presence of God through Christ that's going through that vine and into that branch. And God is saying, because you have suffered and persevered and you've shown character and now we have hope. There's this fruit that's sitting there that's bringing glory and honor and praise to God, not to us, because we have allowed God to prune our lives so we can bear that kind of fruit. I think we're wrong-headed sometimes the way we approach this idea of abiding. I don't want us to be distracted. I want us to abide in Him. And as we go through these next few weeks together talking about the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to be talking as much about not the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the world is the inverse of the fruit of the Spirit. And some of us look at our lives and we read those, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, and yeah, I've got some of that love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness. And yeah, I'm a pretty good person. I got some of that fruit in my life. You ever look to see what's the flip side of those? We have some of that fruit too. It's the fruit of the world. Maybe what it allows us to do is do a recheck in our life to find out, are we really abiding in God the way we should to produce the fruit that God has intended for us to produce? So I'm hoping you and I get a little bit antsy in the pews, a little bit uncomfortable in the pews over the next few weeks, that maybe we can do a little reassessment of our lives and ask ourselves, how much are we really abiding in Him as opposed to using that sustenance for my own selfish purposes. I hope you and I will welcome the pruning in our lives. The proof of abiding is the fruit produced. And the fruit is Galatians 5:22, as some other fruit as well. So abide, folks. Let's abide in Him. Let Him prune our lives. It might hurt a little bit to begin with, but the long-lasting results will bring joy to our lives. Amen? God, thank You. Thank You that You are patient with us. God, in this story that we read, it also seems like You have made it somewhat our choice to let You prune. Will we let You prune? Help us to say yes to Your pruning so that we can produce the fruit that You want for our lives. Fruit that points to You, not fruit that points to us. Help us, God, to do that. Our default drive is to think about me. Our default drive is to take the easy way out. Our default drive is we want people to be impressed with us. And God, that's not what it should be about. It all ought to be about our default drive is to bring honor and glory and praise to You. So God, help us to listen to You, abide in Christ, using the tools that we've been given through prayer, through Your Word, through Christian fellowship, through a forgiving spirit, through confession of sin, through all these things that we do that helps us to continue to abide and allow for Your pruning. God, lop off those sins that we hold on to and pray that You take those pruning scissors and cut them right off. Help us to be willing to let go and let You. And we give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in closing to a hymn that